What's this?
Now, those leaves have fallen, you see, totally free of soil. Now, there's some there, Luke, that have probably been there 3 or 4 years. Mm. Now they've been eaten with insects. See, look at this.
Yeah.
Look at that.
yes.
Now, all the others die. The worms keep throwing it up. And I've got an eighth of an acre over there where 10 years ago we laid it down with nylon mesh after the Department of the Environment bulldozed all the soil off, then stacked on top of what was left another foot of sterile sand and ground rock. And that plot is now in year 12, and we laid it with nylon mesh after we could find seed from everywhere in the Midlands and finish it up, topping it with a mass of seed from the sand dune grasses at Southport. And it was Leighton's at Witches that collected it. Now, once we'd sown that, the only thing that came up was sand dunes out of the sand. They had a secret other plants haven't got.
Is that called marum?
Some of it's marum, but it was some of the finer ones so that we could be sure they'd germinate. They didn't do very well, but they did cover the ground because we sowed them thick. And the nylon mesh got locked with it. And then after year 5, some of the other grasses were beginning to come, like nettles and docks and ragwort, poor quality plants. But they never grew much more than about that, and they look very sick. Now, because we'd sown all the modern grasses from Aberystwyth and the local seed centres and so on, Rothamsted, and all this is there now. All the herbs we put in, they're all there. All the sand dune grasses have gone, the ragwort's died out, and the sheep are grazing it, and we're in year 14. And you can't tell it from anywhere else. But on top of the nylon mesh, there's an inch and a half of rich loam. But nobody put it there. It's the process I've just described there. It's coming up all the time.
So you didn't manage it in any way?
No, and we kept everything off it as well. No manure, no nothing. Now it's as good as the rest of the farm. So I would say to any farmer, you see, wanting to, a man wanting to get onto the land, come and see me and we'll go and search for the poorest bit of land you can put your fingers on. And within 10 years you'll be a farmer and you'll be well on the way. So the whole concept is exciting. Now then, look round the corner here. Now take the whole thing into reverse and say to yourself, a rich piece of ground, a lovely tree, and we've got gorgeous pictures of it in full bloom. It's a horse chestnut. And see how long it takes. And we did 3 trees, and in 14 years, the first one died, fell over. And in 15 years, the second one. And this is 17 years. And it's dead. It fell over on a lovely calm morning about 10 o'clock. It wasn't the wind that blew it over, but look how it must have said to itself, I'm dying, but I'm not going to leave this lovely spot. See how the boughs dropped into the ground? Yeah. Woomph!
Did you say you took all that time to kill it?
That's right. Well, all that I had to do was move all the plants from the perimeter all round it. That's why the garden's gone out a bit on that side.
Yeah.
All around here. And then after that, make sure no plant ever grew on it. When the weeds came up, we just raked it. But those up there, I harrowed them. Now, this is in reverse to the situation where the nylon mesh was laid, where we started with nothing, and we've now got 2 inches of soil on top of the nylon mesh, and in 100 years' time, I wonder how much we shall have, and so on.
Yeah.
But we'd got a rich patch of ground, and the tree all went rotten. Oh, yes, superb.
Why did you want to kill it?
I had to find out. Because I've dedicated my life to cracking the problems of soil erosion. There's only one way to do it, and set up long-term experiments so you can begin to read the pattern. And here, like the other tree, like my father's farm, where it took him 25 years to destroy himself, likewise, I've taken 50 years to enrich myself, doing exactly the opposite, feeding it without. I haven't fed any of this farm for 30 years. Nothing whatsoever. And it gets richer every year. From 38 cattle, which my father kept, we've now 120.
But you put the cattle muck on it?
No. Well, only the cattle muck. that they've had something out of.
Oh, I see.
You follow what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm selling... No. Nothing. No farmyard manure, and I don't spread any farmyard manure. I have no farmyard manure.
You brought feed in?
No. I don't give my cattle anything. Neither night nor day, summer or winter. They're thin as rakes right now. And my vet, he's up there now, and he's going to be saying, you know, Arthur, you're going to lose some of these animals. But I know bloody well I'm not. Because, you see, they're tough, they're hardy, they're slimming at the right time of year, and the grass is coming through very rich as you begin to see it all coming. And we never see any grass when other farmers have got it this high, because as soon as it pops its head through, they've got it. So I never see it. So when anyone walks onto my farm at this time of year, they say, bloody hell, there's something wrong with this fella. Come and have a look at these animals here.
Well, I want to know.
Yes.
Now, this went rotten, you see, through lack of energy.
Why did you select this particular tree to kill? You, Arthur the Executioner.
In a way, I'm
intrigued.
Yes, because it was in the right place. I knew it was fairly rich soil.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go where I had to march off down the fields to rake off the weeds or anything like that.
When did you start doing that?
This was 17 years ago.
And how long did it take to kill it?
17 years.
Oh, and it's just...
It died this last year.
Oh, really?
See, this is only last year.
Oh, yes.
Good Lord.
But it didn't just die last year. It was slowly dying through the whole process. After about 7 years, there were no conkers on it. No horse chestnuts. It stopped. Then after that, when you got to about year 10, the leaves were beginning to get perforated, and someone say, you've got a disease in this tree, and so on. And slowly, the whole thing began to happen.
What caused that death, Arthur? What?
Very basic and very simple. There was just no release of nutrients for the tree to feed on. Because the bacteria had been killed with sunlight, the earthworms had been killed with light, and every time a weed came up, we raked them off. Meaning, there was then no cover whatsoever. So the soil went to sleep.
I see, so it didn't even renew itself.
Oh no, it had no chance to do anything. But you would have thought, according to the knowledge of so-called modern farming, that that tree ought to have done twice as well because it had no competition. You follow what I mean?
Yeah.
The nutrients were there, and it should have had them. But of course it all went to sleep. Now over there, you see, I'm making soil. But from where and who by? You follow what I mean?
Yeah.
That would have gone on here. That's what you were feeling when we first came in.
Mm.
You were feeling what was happening.
Mm.
And those mounds are new in terms of soil, but they aren't soil, they're muck. But this is a toilet there, and my mother and father and families before that came all the way from the house to here for the toilet. And when there's a hole in the ground just behind there, which had slabs on top, and old Jim had to empty it every year. And my father used to say, go and take the soil out of the toilets, Jim. And that was every early spring. And the soil was the name given to the muck. And that's why this is called soil. It's muck. Pure muck.
Mm.
That's what soil is. It's only manure.
Mm.
And it's only alive because it's gone through her guts. So what we're looking at, really, in terms of all we see around here, is a system of perpetual motion. And we think it can never happen, but there it is. That is perpetual motion by living things.